Why, God, do people have to die?
All right, it's a privilege and a joy to have a colleague with us this morning, Keith Stevens, who is the morning host on our sister station, 98.5 KTIS in the Twin Cities. Keith, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Carmen, thank you so much. It's such a privilege to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
It's really fun to have you, even if on such a serious day. So 20 years ago, 9-11, yes. 2001, yes. You were at WKTU in Jersey City, New Jersey. So what was your experience on September 11th?
Well, I remember the morning, Carmen, just like it was yesterday. And I remember heading into work down Route 23 in northern New Jersey and then over to Route 46 and over to Jersey City, which is right on the Hudson River. And the office that I shared with my office mate, what was really neat about it is the windows to our office overlooked. I mean, it was a direct view of the World Trade Centers. So I was heading into work. You could see the smoke in the sky. It was probably around 9 o'clock. And as I saw the smoke in the sky, everybody was driving very slowly on the highway. And I was on the phone with my wife at the time saying, my goodness, there's all this smoke in the sky. What's going on? So that was my experience driving into the office. And then, of course, when I got to work and went up to my office, I had a direct view of the Twin Towers and what was going on there.
Mm.
I remember my office mate told me that when she was watching what was going on out the window of the first tower on fire, then she said she saw another plane that kind of came close. And she said, oh, gee, look, there's another plane coming by. They're going to look and see what's going on, or they're getting a closer view, or maybe, you know, something. And then she screamed as the second plane went into the second tower.
Mm.
I stood there just watching both towers burn. And I couldn't believe my eyes. And we really did have it was a front row seat at the worst horror movie you would ever want to see.
Mm. So, Keith, when you think about then going on air, when you think about talking to people in the community, when you think about not just witnessing it, but then covering it and ministering in the midst of it, what was that like?
The first thing was, I remember standing downstairs outside of the building at a hot dog stand. And there was a vendor there. And I can recall people pouring out of the subway station, you know, who had just come back from the World Trade Centers, and they had soot all over them. I remember one man in his with his suit on and his briefcase coming up out of the bottom of the subway into New Jersey, you know, to get out of Manhattan, and many, many other people. So we stood there huddled around a little transistor radio next to that hot dog vendor as the towers were burning. And we were listening to the radio to see what is going on. And I remember praying for people and also talking to people who came out of the subway station at that time and being able to hear their stories or share hope with them.
Mm. You know, Keith, and again, we're talking with Keith Stevens. He is the morning host at our sister station, 98.5 KTIS in the Twin Cities. This was a national experience, but depending where you were in the nation and depending whether or not you knew someone or had someone in the city at the time, it was a very different experience for people right there in the community versus those of us who experienced it at some distance. I'm wondering what it was like, maybe not on that day, but over the course of time as the nation and even the world responded to the pain that you experienced there in New York and New Jersey.
So here's how it affected our community. We lost 6 people in our town. It was heartbreaking. There's a monument in the suburb where I lived in New Jersey to those who were lost. And I remember going home that day early from work. Like, they closed the building because we didn't know when the next plane was going to hit. We didn't know. And so it was very traumatic, even to this day. And I remember going home that day, maybe around noon, and I went to my son's elementary school. We had a son in second grade and I think kindergarten. And I said, I would like to take my sons out of school and just hug them and hold them because of what I just witnessed. And they said, oh no, we will not let you take your sons out of school today. And I said, but I want to get them out early. It's 12 noon. And they said, well, we can't let you do that. And I said, why? And they said, well, you have to understand, Keith, that some moms and dads are not coming home today. Mm. And their kids don't know it yet. So I can't let you take your kids out and then they'll know what's going on. And if the word happens to get out, to the other children before we've had a chance to tell them. Mm. Now that's real and that's tough. And I want to tell you, it is a moment that I'll never forget. And there were a few children who did not have their dad come home that day. And it was haunting then to hear some of the songs on the radio. And I was at a mainstream station at that time. And it looked right across the river at the Twin Cities. But to hear songs like In a New York Minute or Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters and some other songs that are on rock radio, for example, that all of a sudden rang true to the New York experience. They are precious people in the New York, New Jersey area, and I love them very much. And I did have a chance to be on radio for many years on Christian radio at Star 99 just about a year later. And of course, I share that experience with my listeners all the time because we all lived it, experienced it. You can rebuild the buildings, Carmen, but you can't replace or rebuild the lives that are lost. And I have to say that people call it a tragedy. It was an attack. It was an attack on our nation, and it was tragic. But a tragedy is when you're driving down the road and the road curves, but the driver missed the curve and the car goes off the side of the road, or somebody gets injured or loses their life going down an embankment that they didn't intend to. That's tragic. Planes being flown into buildings is an attack. And one other story to share with you, the engineer at the station I was working at goes up. If you ever notice on the Twin Towers, tower number one has a huge antenna at the top. You ever see that? And whenever they show the video footage on television, especially this time of the year for the 20th anniversary, they show both towers, and one of them has a huge antenna. Well, our radio station that I worked at, that was their antenna. And so the engineer would always go from New Jersey over to the Twin Towers on Tuesday mornings to go operate and work on the transmitter and do some work up there by the antenna. Up on, I think it was the 106th floor of tower number one. So it was Tuesday morning, and he was on his way over from the subway from New Jersey over to New York City. But he stopped and had a cigarette before he went into the World Trade Centers. And he has a funny line because he always says, "A cigarette saved my life." And so he did not go up in time. You know, he did not go up at the usual time he would have to work on the transmitter. If so, he wouldn't be with us today.
Wow. Keith Stevens is sharing with us his personal experience and reflections of being in New Jersey on 9/11 20 years ago. We'll continue this conversation in just a moment.
Oh, America, you're weeping. Let me heal your wounded heart.
Picking up in our conversation with Keith Stevens. He is the morning host at our sister station, 98.5 KTIS in the Twin Cities. We're talking about his experience of 9/11 on this 20th, I don't want to call it an anniversary, on this 20th time in which we remember again what for so many people just seems like yesterday. And we're talking about the events of 9/11 and how it changed each of us and all of us. So, Keith, again, thank you so much for joining us for this conversation.
Thank you, Carmen. I really appreciate being a part of the show today. Thank you.
So you talked about, you know, your engineer who should have been up there on the 106th floor adjusting things related to that iconic antenna that we all see in the photographs.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, a line as simple as a cigarette saved my life. I'm wondering if there are some particular moments that stand out to you. Maybe, I mean, the one about someone at the school telling you can't take your boys out of school because there will be other little kids whose mom and dad won't come home that day. Like, I can't imagine revisiting that moment in your heart and mind over and over again. I'm wondering if there are other moments as well, maybe even some God moments along the way.
I remember churches being packed again.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I remember Wednesday night churches being full and Thursday night and Friday night of that week and people coming together. It was like we bowed our hearts and our knees before God crying out. I also remember that on the subway, because I rode the subway a lot, and I remember whether I was on a train in New Jersey or a subway in Manhattan, all of a sudden, this is great. All of a sudden, white people, African-American people, people of all walks of life were now one. Mm. We were now one. Like in the past, if I sat next to a person from a different walk of life. Nobody really says anything to anybody anyway on a train or a subway in Manhattan or New Jersey.
It's
nobody,
like an elevator.
Right. Nobody really speaks to anybody. All of a sudden, we were one. We were brothers and sisters. We would hug and talk. And it's like out of the suffering, out of the pain, out of the disbelief came a closeness with humanity that we had not experienced, at least in my generation. And it was the first time that I had really seen that happen, where we were just like, we're together as one. And there was no more black and white. You know, there was no more. It seemed like the racism thing, if there was any, did not exist at that time, because we were all Americans and we were all coming together. I remember that clearly. The churches were full. The flags would fly over the overpasses, over every overpass in New Jersey. I remember the Brooklyn Bridge, people walking for miles home from work that day, people trying to get out of New York City in order to be able to get back home if they didn't live in the city before they shut down the Lincoln Tunnel or that kind of thing. So I remember all that. But the ministry part really was the church as a whole. How could we do something for those who lost loved ones, for those who knew people who were lost? And every day in the New York Post or the Daily News, they would print pictures of every person who was lost in the Twin Towers. And I remember my office mate and I looking at that every day. I mean, this was something that consumed you morning, noon, and night. There was nothing else because it was our community right there. And we all knew people and heard stories of those who unfortunately lost their lives that day.
You know, you're bringing back so many memories for me as well. Mm-hmm. Churches, you know, churches in the community where I lived were also full. Mm-hmm. And again, people, you know, even as you say, your experience there on the subway in New York, people who were random strangers, you know, moments before are no longer random strangers. Like there's an acknowledgement of our shared fragility and our shared humanity. Mm-hmm. And yes, there was a sense that we had a common enemy. And we were together in this thing. I was at an event the weekend following that John Lewis was supposed to be talking about racial issues in America. And instead, what he talked about was the reality as he looked around the room filled with a majority of white faces. You know, he just looked right at us and said, you know, we may have arrived on different boats, but we're all in the same boat now.
Amen.
And we have forgotten that in the subsequent 20 years. And the never forget part of 9/11 that I want people to maybe hold on to this day, this week, this year, is that. Like, there are some things we should never forget. We should never forget that we were on our knees because we were broken and afraid, but we were also on our knees because we were reverent. We recognized our smallness and God's greatness and our need and his saving grace. And we recognized that we were all in it together. And it would be helpful today for people to never forget some of the things of 9/11 that are redemptive notes.
It's so true. And there's so much we can learn from that day and from never taking a day of your life for granted. That we are so fragile, and that there's a bigger plan for our lives than just to be happy and, you know, make money and do that kind of thing. It's like, what are we mm-hmm. destined to do? And I think that's what it made us pause and think about as well, is what is God destined you to do? Because, you know, don't quit, because there's somebody who needs you, who you haven't met yet in your life. So don't give up. And I think you can quit a job, but never quit your calling. And so whatever you're called to do, do it, because God is preparing you for that intersection with people that you maybe haven't even planned on in your life. So on those days after 9/11 and on 9/11, there were a lot of hugs and tears, because we would read about people in the next town over who lost 46 people. Mm. Our town lost 6. But this was every day you'd hear about where people had lost loved ones. And of course, having been to the World Trade Centers many times, and my father would work, he worked across the street from the World Trade Centers. He watched those World Trade Centers get built and go up in the late 60s and in 1970 and 71. He watched them go up. I watched them come down. And I feel like everybody knew somebody. And we remember sitting at Windows on the World and having breakfast, a brunch one day, and looking at the beautiful view. So you can kind of picture then what a nightmare, what a tragic way for people to lose their lives. And you can picture what it was like because you've been there. And so for the people of the New York, New Jersey area who are precious people of God, we love them with all our heart. And those who suffered loss in all other parts of the East Coast as well, in Washington, D.C., and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and beyond. But it is certainly a day to say, Lord God, we're thankful for the gift of life. How can we help those who are still suffering loss? The common phrase is move on. You know, we've got to move on, or just keep moving forward. People who are ill or sick or maybe overcoming different illnesses, it's like, well, I've got to move forward. I don't think that's enough. I think moving forward is part of it, but really it's, Jesus, where are you in the midst of this? God, what can you teach me in the midst of suffering? What gold pieces can I learn from this? My wife and I are going through a challenging time right now, health-wise for her. And I'll tell you, Carmen, we have learned the most golden, beautiful moments of our life, as tough as it is, have been through the suffering times, you know. So before we're quick to say, let's move on, I think we have to be in the moment and be present and be mindful of what Jesus wants to show us now, today. Mindfulness, not living my life on rewind or fast forward, but on play, kind of like the old cassette decks from years ago.
That's a good image, Keith. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today. You guys can hear Keith each and every day on his morning show over on our sister station, 98.5 KTIS in the Twin Cities. Keith, thank you for reflecting with us on your experience of 9/11 and its ongoing importance in our life today.
Thanks so much, Carmen. I really appreciate you. And thanks for letting me be a guest today. And I will just say, if those people who had witnessed 9/11, they still do feel some PTSD from it. I mean, it's tough. For those people who are still suffering, and remember, you can rebuild the buildings, you can't rebuild the lives. So pray for them, lift them up, and pray that God's peace, presence, and His grace fill their hearts and their homes, and that they will experience Him on this 20th anniversary.
So helpful. We'll be right back.